Well, as the clock slides just past noon, we welcome you to EverBank Field for Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank. I'm Brian Sexton. You all know Jeff Loggeman. It is a beautiful day for football, and that might be, and I don't do this very often, that might be an understatement for even me. There's not a cloud in the sky.
I mean, this is what, Chamber of Commerce Day.
You bet.
You know, Thursday night, there was a chance of rain last Thursday against the Tennessee Titans. You know, the crowd was kind of sparse.
Yeah.
But today, absolutely no reason to not come out. You can come out and get some sun today.
You bet. It is going to be an amazingly beautiful afternoon, and we'll find out whether the Jaguars can have an amazing afternoon and keep this three-game winning streak against the Chargers. And the Chargers come in kind of beat up, but as long as you have Phillip Rivers as your quarterback, you got a chance, right?
And that, it's crazy because the Chargers have lost six in a row with a great quarterback. He is probably the greatest competitor in the National Football League at the quarterback position because he's that good. He seems to want to will his team to win at times. Now, he's got some issues up front. They're starting left tackle and right guard. DJ Fluker's the right guard. King Dunlap is the left tackle. He's going to be without them. They have a first-round draft pick running back in Melvin Gordon, but they haven't been able to really take the pressure off of Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers is on pace to throw for over 5,100 yards, which is crazy to think of because I think he would be only the ninth quarterback in NFL history to do that. But he's that good. He can carry the weight of a football team on his shoulders. He also gets Malcolm Floyd back in today's game, who was inactive and is his most experienced receiver. So it's going to be a real key to stopping him, but not going to be easy because the ball is usually out in about 2.3 seconds.
I was just going to ask you, I remember 2013, and that was Gus Bradley's first team, and these Jaguars hadn't yet won a game. But I do remember they came in without two starting offensive linemen. They lost a third during the course of the ball game, and it made no difference.
It was bad.
Remember that?
It made
no difference at all. The Jaguars couldn't create anything near pressure.
No.
Can they do it today without, are they more suited today to be able to do it without Fluker and without Dunlap?
Ron, if you remember going back to that game you're referring to, the San Diego Chargers ran it up the Jaguars defense, I mean, on the ground the entire ball game. I don't think the Chargers are capable of doing that with backup offensive line because the Jaguars right now run defense is number one in the National Football League at yards per rush allowed, which is a tremendous number and something to be proud of because Gus Bradley is doing it with a defense that doesn't do it by fortifying the front with eight or nine guys in the box. You know, so I don't think that the Chargers can get anywhere close to doing what they did a couple years ago. But I think they can do it differently. If Phillip Rivers gets on a roll and the Jaguars allow some players to get behind the coverage, yes, that could happen.
Can they cover Antonio Gates and Ladarius Green, the two tight ends? Now, both of them are beat up. Green has been dealing with an ankle, missed practice, and, of course, an MCL for Antonio Gates, and he's not been the same player since the MCL injury in mid-October. From what you see on tape, are the Jaguars better prepared to cover those two guys today?
Well, I think they are because I think the Jaguars are going to match up in a lot of nickel packages. Dan Scuda's not going to be available for the Jaguars today, but I think that's just fine. You've got Demetrius McCray, who's a tall guy that can match up against the tight end because they don't do a lot of blocking with Antonio Gates. I mean, he's a willing blocker. He's just not a good blocker. And in last week's game against Kansas City, he was a limited participant, offensively speaking. I think the Jaguars can control the tight ends. The one guy that I worry about a little bit is the former first-round or former high pick wide receiver from the Buffalo Bills, Stevie Johnson. I think he's a tremendous player. But the leading receiver for the San Diego Chargers is a running back, Danny Woodhead, formerly of the New England Patriots, something that I think the Jaguars linebackers are going to be kept very busy with.
The word that comes to mind when it comes to Phillip Rivers and a guy like a Danny Woodhead is crafty. You use it all the time. If you're not prepared for him, he can beat you just by his own intellect and guile and will.
Well, he's got a great coaching staff. Mike McCoy, their head coach, is an offensive guy. Frank Reich, former quarterback himself for the Buffalo Bills, is their offensive coordinator. And then you put Phillip Rivers in there because of his sheer experience. He's like an offensive mind himself because he can run everything at the line of scrimmage. He can make all the checks. He can get you in the best play, offensively speaking. And he has the mind to be able to make quick decisions, which is kind of different because, you know, when you watch Phillip Rivers throw the football, it might be the ugliest thrown motion you've ever seen. It's kind of a shot put, you know, and it's not pretty, but it's effective.
Yeah, well, when the numbers just say it, over the last three against the Jaguars, he's thrown three touchdowns per game, averaged 300 yards per game, and his passer rating, 130 per game. So you know what you're getting. Let's flip it around real quick. The Jaguars have struggled in the red zone the last three games. From what you've seen on tape, are those issues fixable today against the Chargers?
Well, I think they are fixable, but that's typically the last thing that kind of comes along with a young development offense. And you got to look at the quarterback right out of the gate. You know, Blake Bortles, if you look at his overall completion percentage, it's 56.5%. In the red zone where the field shrinks, the decisions have to come quicker, his completion percentage drops to like 41.7. It's not a great number. So he has to be better, but take the pressure off of him by running the football as well. And they can make that number better, but it has to come incrementally. So I don't think there's going to be a big jump, although it could happen. But a small jump would be good in my mind, because last week, what were they, 1-4 in last week's ball game against Tennessee? If you can get somewhere around 50%, you're doing fine.
One of the reasons the Chargers are in the middle of a six-game losing streak, their defense has not been very good. They've not been very good against the run. Is today a day that T.J. Yeldon should be able to help them control the clock, keep Phillip Rivers on the sideline?
Well, I was kind of hoping that Corey Legit, their defensive lineman, would be inactive, but he is going to be active. Their nose tackle's also active in today's ballgame. It's kind of because those guys were questionable coming in. I was hoping they would be inactive, but they're going to play. So it's not going to be easy, but they have a lot of different combinations of linebackers that they use. There's about six guys that all play those four positions, and they roll them in and out. They really haven't had any consistency. Yes, I think the Jaguars can get it done on the ground with T.J. Yeldon, and I think that it's a game that Blake Bortles can have a good game, but without the interceptions like he had in his first career start last year at San Diego.
All right, let's end on this. Special teams have been a tender spot, a sore spot for a couple of weeks there, giving up yardage.
Sore for me, for sure, because I've not been happy with it.
No, I know. Last week, Rashad Greene gets in and obviously, you know, sets up the game-winning touchdown. Did they perform to a higher standard outside of just that return, and what do you expect from them today?
Well, I think it was their best game from a coverage standpoint. They did a great job. Brian Anger, I think, his last 2 weeks has been very good, but now the coverage has kind of come along with it. They've been doing a good job last week, particularly in punt coverage. Kickoff coverage was good because I think Jason Myers was very good last week. Now all of a sudden you add the bonus in where you got the spark from Rashad Greene, and that's a winning performance by special teams, which I don't think there's one game you could point to all year long where you could say that was a winning performance on special teams. Now the challenge is to keep it going.
All right, one game. You got a team coming across the country. It's 10 o'clock their time. They've lost six in a row. All the talk in San Diego is about whether they're going to be there next year or not. What's the key to taking a team that really doesn't have a lot going for it right now and beat it?
Start fast, take their confidence away early, and they're going to have the mindset of here we go again. Yeah. I mean, to me, that's what it's all about, especially with a football team led by Phillip Rivers, because if you give that team some confidence early on the rest of the team, then all of a sudden Phillip Rivers can rally that team, and all of a sudden they feel good about themselves and feel good about what they're doing. Start fast early.
All right, Jeff, thanks so much.
Thank you, Brian.
Good broadcast. I'll take that from you and hand it off to the senior writer of this fine website, John Osher.
What he said.
All right, and that'll do it. Thanks a lot. How are you?
Good.
Phillip Rivers is across the field today. The best defense for him is not the pass rush. It's the running game, isn't it?
Well, it is, and the running game needs to get going. They know it. They try it every week, and you watch the team as much as I have. Doesn't it feel like it's been close?
Yes, it does.
And you see T.J. Yeldon, he'll get 6-5, and then the next series it won't be there, and it just can't quite get going. So I don't think that's unusual for a first-year offense, which this is, and a relatively young line, which it still is working together in the grand scheme of things. That's usually the thing that comes together the slowest, but you'd like to see it. At the same time, I don't think you're going to sack Rivers 7 times today, but you need to have your pressure be effective when you send it. I don't think they're going to blitz a lot. He gets the ball out very quickly, but you have to do it some, and it's important not to have that look where all of a sudden Cyprian's coming up and he gets knocked off a little bit and he's 3 yards behind Rivers and then he's got all day to throw it, because he will beat that.
Antonio Gates and Ladarius Green are both playing. Both are banged up, have not been practicing, have not been healthy. Are the Jaguars better in coverage against tight ends by your estimation? Are they more prepared to deal with a couple of guys who've beaten them quite handily in the past?
Well, it seemed, and as weird as this is to say, because tight ends had productive yardage with Tennessee, Delanie Walker. But it didn't seem after the first quarter like the Titans controlled the game with the tight end. And I don't, statistically, I know it says differently, but you didn't feel like they were getting away from you because of the tight end. And there have been times under Gus Bradley's defense where it's felt like they just can't stop this position. I think they're a little better prepared because I think Cyprian's a little better in that role. Telvin Smith, still as aggressive as he plays, there are still times where he'll make a mistake and give up something to the tight end. You'll take that because of how effective he is making plays. So I think they're going to give up some to the tight end, but you can't let those two guys take over the game. I don't think they will, because I think the offensive line of San Diego may not be strong enough to allow a whole lot in the passing game today. We'll see. I think that's the key matchup.
A week ago, the Jaguars struggled in the red zone, but they still had a chance because they were playing Marcus Mariota,
right,
a rookie quarterback, and we saw how that played out. If the offense doesn't score touchdowns today and you keep it close, you're likely to lose to this guy.
Well, and I've been saying for the last couple of days, every time I think about this game, you try to figure out ways they can win, ways they can lose. It's sort of what we do. The thing I don't want to see, I don't want to be sitting in that press box with 3:20 to play and have anger punting from his 10 and giving Rivers the ball with the Chargers down 20-16. Because that's where you get really worried that this guy, I don't care who's on the field with him, he's going to figure out a way in that situation. So what you've got to have turnovers early, and you've got to score in the red zone when you have the opportunity. I think you'll see them force the issue with T.J. Yeldon more in the red zone, meaning they haven't been trying to keep T.J. out of the game. It's been circumstance more than anything on the red zone. They had Gerhardt as a short yardage back for the first part of the season, and then the other night against Tennessee, they liked that package with Denard Robinson. They were in the attack mode because of the catch. I think today, if they get in the red zone, you will see them, if TJ's not in the game, figuring out a way to get him in there and making that happen.
Jeff brought up Blake's percentage, completion percentage, when he gets in the red zone.
Right.
The surest way to do that is to throw some lobs up there, right, and let Julius Thomas to increase it. Julius Thomas and Allen Robinson go get it.
You would think, but he has not thrown the fade pass particularly well.
Right.
And
so much of that is timing, and we talked about that.
Right, and that's young quarterback stuff. That's okay, that part of his game has developed to the point where you want it. At the same time, when you've got Julius Thomas and when Allen Robinson is so good at that, at some point the fade and being good at it has to be something this team does well, or else you're leaving a huge strength of Allen Robinson on the field. You don't want to do that. So I don't think they'll shy away from the fade. He's got to make it work.
You've been in the locker room all week. How do you suppose this team's handling it?
In terms of being, playing a little better?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think this team...
One, three of their last four, you know, two in a row, people are pointing at them.
Yeah. I don't get the idea, talking to these guys, that they believe that they're good yet. And I say that in a positive way, meaning I don't think they think, okay, we've got this figured out. I think they think they're getting better. But I think Bradley's approach early, which has always been, we're not going to worry about any outside stuff if it's bad, will help them when it's going a little better. This is not a team that's guaranteed anything right now. They're not good enough to sit here before the game and think, I know they're blowing the other team out. So if they don't get a win today, I don't think it'll be because of the question you just asked me. I don't think it'll be overconfident. I think it'll be the stuff that's bit them all year, which is, you know, not scoring in the red zone, not being able to get pressure. Those things make it hard to pull away from teams. But I don't think it'll be a case where they sleptwalk through the game.
All right, they've had 10 days off. They seem reasonably healthy. See if they can play their best.
Yeah, and we've talked about it all week. This is a game that you feel like they ought to win.
Yep.
This is a game that if they're getting on the roll and if they're playing better, which I think both of us think they are,
right?
If you're on a roll, this is a game that you shouldn't be worried about Phillip Rivers at the end of a game. This should be 27-17 coming down the stretch. And you should walk into that locker room at 4:15 saying, hey, you've done it one more time. We should still be talking playoff scenarios after this game. We'll see.
This is a big boy game then.
Yeah.
Win one here at the end of November, starting December, to keep yourself in it when you should.
If
you could.
If you're on the roll that you think you are, then you win this game.
All right. John Osher, follow him all day long on Twitter. Obviously, he'll have First Off the Field, Jaguars.com. The best place for you to be for the best Chargers-Jaguars coverage. Enjoy the afternoon.
You too, Brian.
All right. So, for our entire broadcast crew, Pat Cavanaugh, Dave DeCandis, Max, and, of course, John Osher, I'm Brian Sexton. Enjoy the game.